Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome all the visitors that we have. Without missing anybody, we'd like to welcome a couple from, a little family from Las Vegas. We have a couple from Arkansas, and we're awful glad that you came with us. We have Mila's family going to be here with us all the way through November, so we're glad that you're worshiping with us all that time. If I missed anybody, I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you yet. Throughout the history of the world, we've seen an awful lot of religious intolerance. Even in our country, a lot of the colonies were actually created due to the fact that people believed differently and were kicked out of one colony and they'd start another. Right now, in different parts of the world, there are Christians that are being arrested, put in jail, and sometimes even worse. I've heard stories recently in different parts of the world where Christians have not only been put in prison, but beaten to death, stoned, some even hideous accounts of beheadings, and burned alive. And although we, living in the United States, kind of, we do feel a little isolated from that. We have the guarantee of religious freedom based in the Constitution. I just wonder, though, if we were ever arrested and charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? And I would like to look at some of these things, looking at the evidence that would maybe convict somebody for being a Christian. One thing that people would look at, do you even claim to be one? Do you claim to be a Christian? Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus told his followers, he said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is a comforting thought to me, knowing, and I think we were talking about this a little bit on Wednesday night in our Bible study. This is a comforting thought, knowing that when I have to stand before God at judgment, that Jesus is going to be interceding for me, that Jesus will be telling the Father, "He's one of ours." And Jesus told his followers, "You have to confess me before men." Not only verbally, we saw Peter do that. We saw the Ethiopian eunuch do that. Not only verbally confess, but by the way we live our lives, we confess. There was a family that lived down the street from us, and I don't remember, it's been so long ago, I don't ever remember meeting them, really, but they didn't care for us for some reason, and they made the comment one time, "Oh, that's the, you know, going to church," you know, because they knew our routine, you know, going to church Sunday morning and you know, coming to worship, and then Wednesday night Bible study. "Oh, that's the Christian family that's always going to church." I don't know what we ever did to them to offend them, but they saw by our actions that we were religious, that we were Christians by the way we lived. But Jesus also wants us to profess him verbally. He says we've got to confess him before men. And when people come forward to be baptized, it is our, it is, you know, in accordance to the scriptures, we ask them to make a confession. Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Before, you know, so they can confess it before men. Another bit of evidence that could prove Christianity is, how do you worship? There is a lot of people out there that profess and claim to be a Christian. But then you have to ask, how do you worship? Is it acceptable to God? Brian read our scripture this morning, and it was John 4:24, and Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
We have to. When we look at that, we have to worship in spirit. We have to have the right attitude when we come. We have to have the right heart. Jesus told people that if we're coming to worship and we have something against our brother, leave your gift and go fix it with your brother before you worship God. We have to worship in the right spirit. We have to have the right heart. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that whatever we do, if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. And if we come here and go through the motions, go through the doing the right things, taking the Lord's Supper, have the prayers, sing the songs, but if we're not doing it for the right reasons, the right spirit of attitude, it profits us nothing.
Amen.
But yet we also, not only spirit, because I will be the first to say, there are a lot of people that worship God incorrectly, but with a right heart. There's a lot of people that think they are worshiping God properly. But Jesus says you have to worship in spirit and in truth. If you have the right heart but compromise the word of God, that's not acceptable and pleasing to God either. We have to worship in spirit and in truth. And that's where God has given us His doctrine, His Bible, His Word, to see how to worship Him. What is acceptable and pleasing to Him. That's one of the things, you know, you hear people, you know, hopefully not here, but people, I just didn't get anything out of the worship service. I don't see anywhere where when you come to worship God, that granted we get uplifted, should, to come together, the Christian fellowship and the encouragement that we get, the maybe knowledge that we get from Bible study and worship. But when we come to worship God, we're coming to give.
Amen.
We're coming to give to God. Give God worship. Praising the Creator of all. And that's why we come. But also, one of the things about worship, do you worship regularly? Yeah, I worshiped in spirit and truth once. Isn't that good enough? I worshiped in spirit and in truth once. Okay, I did it 7 times. 100 times. We need to do it regularly. Hebrews 10:25, Hebrew writer says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Obviously, there were some that forsook the assembly, would come sporadically. We need to worship God, and if we were arrested, and is there enough evidence to convict us, do we profess to be a Christian? Do we worship God the way we should, in spirit and in truth, and regularly? This is how, this and in prayer and the way we live our lives, that's how we please God. That's how we we offer our worship. And if our kids came and told us one time that they loved us, we want to hear from our kids that they love us more than just once. They live that life. A big question of proof would be, do you know God? Do you know God? Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I want to thank Curtis for that picture. He took that picture up in Alaska. I don't know how people can be out in nature and not see God. I don't see how they could look at the mountains, how they could look at a flower, a blade of grass, breathe the air, and not know God. He gave all of it to us. God created it all. We need to know God just in our day-to-day lives as we wake up each day. Be still and know that I am God. Do we know God? But a bigger question than do you know God, does God know you? Does God know you? Galatians 4:9, Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia. He says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God. That's the key. A lot of people claim they know God. A lot of people claimed they knew Jesus. In Matthew 7, people claim to know Jesus and to be following Jesus. And he says, you who practice lawlessness, depart from me. These were religious people. These were people that did things in the name of Jesus. He goes, depart from me. I never knew you. Never knew you. But didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. We need to be known by God. One of the ways that you can be known by God is our prayer life. If God only, you know, our friends. We usually have connection with our friends on a regular basis. And could you imagine going to God sporadically? What God thinks about that? God wants us to come to Him all the time. That's how we go to God. That's how we get to connect to God. He speaks to us today through His Word. If we never open up the Bible, that's how God's speaking to us. If we never go to God in prayer, that's how we go to God. Paul told the Christians in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Now, it doesn't mean 24 hours a day constantly praying. We'd never be able to get anything done. He doesn't want us to pray while we're driving our car, closing our eyes and bowing our heads, nothing like that. We have to have the attitude of prayer all the time in our lives, where we could go to God in any and all situations through prayer. In everything, give thanks. Do we give thanks in everything? Are we thankful even in bad situations? I know a lot of times prayers can get overloaded with, dear God, do this for me, do that for me. I want this, this, this. We almost think of God as a Santa Claus figure, and we give Him a list of things that we want Him to do. How about thanking Him for our lives? Thanking Him for another day that we have to serve Him. thanking Him for the love that He had for us, that He gave His Son. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Another way, in addition to our prayer life that we demonstrate we are known by God, is our actions. Our actions show God whether we are His or not. John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If, it's conditional. We claim to be a Christian. We want to be a Christian. And this will demonstrate it. If you have love for one another. The company you keep. The company you keep. A very important person in my life growing up. Drilled it. If I heard it once, I heard it a million times. He used to say, he spoke with this West Texas drawl, you can't walk in the gutter and not expect to get dirty. And if I heard that one time, I've heard it 100. You can't walk in the gutter and not expect to get dirty. You can't walk in that slush and the grime and the mud and muck and all that stuff and not expect it to splash up on you. I don't care how careful you are. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, do not be deceived. Don't be fooled. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. You can have the best intentions. Some of the worst trouble I ever got into, I was with good friends. I was with good friends who were good. We did not do the right thing. The very people that should have been keeping you from harm and danger and making good decisions were the ones that led us into the trouble. Do not be deceived. Kids, you listen to that. People you hang around at school. The people you hang around and play with in the neighborhood. Are they good people? Because evil company, bad friends, can lead you astray. Moms and dads, evil company can lead you astray. For all of us, not just the kiddos. Another thing that demonstrates that we're known by God is our obedience to God. Obedience to Jesus' words. John 14:15 states, if you love me, another condition, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we demonstrate that we're known by God. Does our actions reflect being a Christian? Does our actions reflect it to other people? Not only to God, but to other people. Matthew 7, starting in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. People are displayed by the fruits they give off. By the fruits they display. That's how people are known. You might, and what was it? Abraham Lincoln says you can fool some of the people some of the time. You know, something like that. And yeah, you can fool some people. But what is the fruit that we are displaying? Jesus says, A bad tree does not give good fruit, and vice versa. Now, earlier in this chapter, we were warned, it started out, not to judge. And I tell you, a lot of people, well, both in the world and even in the church, don't judge me. Don't you, who are you to judge me? And it goes off into this. It leads to this. You will know them by their fruits. A man that I would have loved to have heard preach was Marshall Keeble, one of the absolute greatest gospel ministers of the 20th century. Preached into his 90s, I think he died at 90. Died in 1968. Some of his sermons you can find that have been recorded are on YouTube. I enjoy hearing him speak. I enjoy reading his sermons. He minced no words. He was a loving, God-fearing man that preached for over 50 years. Almost 70 years. And somebody told him once, you know, we're told not to judge. And he goes, yeah, we're told not to judge, but we can be fruit inspectors. We're not judging somebody's soul. That's for God. But you know what? We can inspect the fruit that they display. And that's how we can be known by others and by God, is the fruit that we display. In Galatians 5, Paul writes, starting in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, if we want to be Christians, and if we want to display the fruit of our beliefs, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I have found, being Christian, some people need a little bit more long-suffering than others. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. We were talking in this morning's Bible class about qualities of an elder. These are qualities of a Christian and qualities of an elder. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Last thing we have to ask if we're a Christian, have we been baptized? Have we followed the words of Christ and others? Have we been baptized? We claim we're a Christian. We worship as a Christian. We claim to know God. We claim to be known by God. Well, have we done the things that God has required? Mark 16:16 is as plain as day. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Acts 2:38. At the end of Peter's great gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, it cut those people to the heart. They were beside themselves. It drove the point home. And they responded in verse 37. They go, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter responded, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a big verse. Not only do you see what you have to do to be saved, that you've got to repent of sins and be baptized, but it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. Not the name of anybody else. Not to join a church. You know, it's not something we make you do just to be part of us. God adds you to the church, verse 47. And it's for the remission of sins. mentioned Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch earlier. Philip had the opportunity to preach and to teach a man from Ethiopia. And it says in verse 35 of Acts 8, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37, then Philip says, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see that going back to that first question, do you profess to be one? Do we confess that before men? And we see the Ethiopian eunuch saying that. And then in verse 38, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. We see water immersion baptism. We see it in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and we see the confession. Acts 10:48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 16:15, so when she and her household, talking about Lydia, when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house. So she persuaded us. She was baptized. Acts 16:30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the Philippian jailer. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately him and his family were baptized. Acts 22:16. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask you that same question that was asked in Acts 22:16. If you're not baptized, why do you delay? Why are you waiting? You've heard the word of God. You know what God wants you to do. You've heard the word of God. You need to confess that belief. You need to believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You need to confess that belief. Matthew 10:32. You need to repent of your sins. Acts 2:38, we saw that. Repent and be baptized of your sins. If you're not baptized, I urge you, why are you waiting? This is a great time. If you need to repent of sins, if you are a Christian, and you need to make that case before God, are you a Christian? You need to repent of your sins. If those of you that are visiting with us would like to make this your church home and would like to identify with us, worshiping and working with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. We don't add you to the church. God does that. But we would love to have you work with us here at South Valley. Whatever your need, if you need prayers, if you're going through a struggle right now and need prayers of your fellow Christians, please come forward. Whatever your need, come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.